You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to your calls in just a moment. I don't know about you, but I love testimonies. I was looking through a number of testimonies a few moments ago before I came into the studio. One of them is from Adam. He says, I can summarize the impact of the Christian Research Institute on my life with one word. And I love the word he uses. It's the word discernment. The reason I love that word is we are a discernment ministry, ultimately equipping people to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Adam goes on to say, I can, on so many different levels, point out how discernment plays a pivotal role in developing a consistent and biblically sound worldview. It applies to all areas of life. Without always being consciously aware of potential deception, we're all susceptible to practical and doctrinal error. The Christian Research Institute has provided me with excellent answers from world-renowned scholars dealing with cutting-edge issues in the Christian Research Journal, and I have built up my knowledge base tremendously from the show, from articles, and by recommended books over the last 10 years. Some I have talked with have left the Word of Faith movement. And this is great because this is what active apologetics is all about. Adam goes on to say, I've confidently engaged Jehovah's Witnesses on the main and plain doctrines of the Bible, and even my neighbor's live and let live attitude on life has been gently and respectfully challenged after a solid relationship was intact. The wisdom in that is profound. I mean, he's doing what he's doing with gentleness and with respect, and first establishing a relationship that permits him or gives him the opportunity to bridge from that relationship to talk about those things that really matter in life. Adam concludes by saying, I can't thank the Christian Research Institute enough. May God bless everyone involved with the ministry. One more testimony, and then we'll go to our callers. Keith Coleman writes, Hank has taught me how to interpret or mine Scripture, as he says. I've come to learn how to read, understand, and navigate the amazing Word of God like never before. That's music to my ears. Because as I oftentimes said, it's not just about being able to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but if in fact it is, how do you know what God is saying through that repository? Keith finishes by saying, I'm so grateful to Hank and to the ministry partners at Christian Research Institute for the scriptural help in defending the faith more confidently and completely. I've said it before, but we stand on the threshold of global tipping points. And these are tipping points where faith-filled believers led by the Spirit can literally alter the trajectory of human history. And this is why we're asking people to stand with the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, both in the West and abroad, both prayerfully and financially. This is, of course, a seminal month. December is the most significant month in terms of giving to ministries, and so we ask you to give with a grateful heart. Give as you've been given. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the phone calls. Talk to Diane. She's listening on South Carolina. Hi, Diane.
Hello. I would ask you to clarify something for me.
Sure.
I am under the impression that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, that your sins are forgiven. All your previous and future sins are forgiven through God's mercy and love. But then I know there's going to be a final judgment where everything that we do in our life will come before God in judgment. So I get confused because I believe that my sins are forgiven, but then I'm going to be judged.
Well, that's right, and I don't think you're confused at all. In fact, I think you have it exactly right. What Scripture points out is that there is no other foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you're correct in saying that we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. You can either use precious metals, gold, silver. You can use costly stones, or you can build with inferior products like wood, hay, and straw. And the day of the Lord will bring to light what you built with. Because then it's going to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Paul says, if what you have built survives, you will receive reward. If it is burned up, you will suffer loss. You yourself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So the point here is to say that, yeah, you're saved on account of the work of Jesus Christ. You're not saved by your own righteousness, but rather a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of your own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. And therefore, you will be judged for what you have done with what you've been given. There are biblically degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell.
But all those things will be laid at the feet of Jesus because they're not of me, but they're for him. But my question is, when I go before God on that final judgment, he's going to accept me and love me for who I am and for what I did for him. And there's no need to worry because I have peace knowing he's my Father.
Right. But again, Scripture is replete with references to rewards. The basis of our salvation is the finished work of Christ, but Christians can erect a building of rewards upon that foundation. John, for example, in his vision, sees the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And then he says, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. So there certainly is in Scripture a book of life, and if your name is recorded in the book of life, it is a way of saying that you have come into intimacy with Jesus Christ as a participant in his kingdom. But as a participant in his kingdom, what you do now counts for all eternity. So you might say there's a book of mercy and there are books of merit. The book of mercy or the book of life reveals those who had a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, not a said faith, but a real faith. As the Lord himself put it, those who have done good will rise to live, those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Conversely, the books of merit contain a record of our deeds. And these books suggest that what we do now during our earthly sojourn counts and will impact what we will do for all eternity. Rewards involved both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. For example, the capacity for enjoying music would be greatly enhanced if you master a musical instrument. And I think in the same sense, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. And I've written about this in a section in my book, Resurrection. There's a section in that book on rewards. I've also written about this in Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. I'll leave it at that. Again, more information in those two books, which are also available. You can find them on the web, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A quick reminder as we go to break that those who join the Bible Answer Man support team be pleased to personalize one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can choose whichever book you want. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Has God Spoken, which is on understanding that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, but also learning how to read it or mine it for all its wealth. Those resources, many more, available in personalized format to you, a family member, or a friend when you join the Bible Answer Man support team. You can join online at equip.org. Once again, you can also join by just talking to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, engage with social media, or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the other outreaches of the Christian Research Institute exist to help you defend your faith against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on. To help us continue equipping you to stand strong, call now before the year ends. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast in the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes the challenging year of 2022, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Deborah. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, my question is, I don't understand something here on Exodus 4, verse 24 to 28. God basically speaks out Moses and says he was going to kill him, and I'm thinking I'm missing something in understanding in context what that meant, and then Zipporah then circumcises their child and places that at his feet and says some things, and it just didn't seem to meld into what I was reading around it. Could you clarify that for me, please?
Yeah, I mean, there is a context for all of this. Circumcision for Abraham was a sign of the everlasting covenant between God and his people. It was a sign of commitment to God, symbolizing that the Lord alone was to be trusted and served, very similar to a marriage covenant. The commitment that a husband has to his wife is the commitment, or at least analogous, to the commitment that God has to his people and God's people have towards God himself. So, given that context, in Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses, who is going to be the great lawgiver to God's people, in disobedience to the law of circumcision. And it seems he was more willing to please the wishes of his Midianite wife than he was the will of the Lord, and thus he had not circumcised his own son. That's what the contextual idea here is. And remember that Moses was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He was the lawgiver. He was the Old Testament Jesus, as it were, just as he was to lead them from exile and from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. So in much the same way, typologically, Jesus leads us not just out of slavery to sin, but into eternity, into an everlasting relationship with God. So as the great lawgiver, he was in disobedience to an axiom, a major issue, which separated the kingdom of darkness from the kingdom of light. And that's why God's wrath burned against Moses. And if it wasn't for Zipporah, his Midianite wife, the text indicates that God might have exacted capital punishment against Moses. But the entirety of the Bible has this notion of blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel. And this was a seminal point in history, redemptive history, because Israel, again, was called to be a light to the nations, and now you have the same kind of idolatry that you see later on, which causes the exile of Israel from the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom also. In fact, even before that, the split of the two kingdoms. But this is one of the things that is so significant from my standpoint. If you don't know how to read the scripture for all its worth or mine it for all its wealth, you have a hard time making sense out of what's going on in Exodus. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gabriel, listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, Hank, I just finished reading a book, pretty interesting actually. It's Gold We Trust by Federico Molano. Very interesting, but it gets me a doubt here. And there's some evangelics tend to believe that there's going to be a rapture. There's three different opinions on this matter: the post-rapture, the medium, and before the rapture. I would like to have your opinion on this one.
Yeah.
It's very confusing, and both sides of of this issue proclaim that they have Bible verses to support this. What would be your take on this, please?
Yeah, there is no Bible to support a pre-tribulational rapture. I mean, the basic idea communicated by Jesus Christ is that he is going to return, and when he returns, he'll put all things to right. The idea that there's going to be a rapture after the Jews take over Israel is simply unbiblical. It's very popular, but it's a 19th century idea. Prior to the 19th century, No one had a notion such as a pre-tribulational rapture. And as I've said many times on the broadcast, there's not a single passage in all the Scripture that speaks of Christ coming secretly to resurrect and rapture Christians for 7 years of heavenly bliss, nor is there even a collection of passages that can be construed in any sense to communicate the secret coming prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Instead, as Jesus said overtly, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So the plain, the literal sense of the Lord's words suggests a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous will be resurrected and judged together. The notion that believers are going to be raptured during a secret coming prior to the resurrection of unbelievers is an imposition on the Bible. In other words, it's not something you extract from the biblical text, but something that you impose upon the biblical text. So I would challenge anyone listening in to search, and you will not find in the biblical text a future seven-year tribulation during which a vast majority of Jews are going to die. In fact, a future seven-year tribulation, and the operative word here is future, is conspicuous by its absence in the whole of the Christian scriptures. That, of course, is not to suggest that the Jews have not faced tribulation in the past. You think about what happened under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, and their freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus, still celebrated during Hanukkah. So there has been tribulation in the past, but the notion that there's going to be a seven-year tribulation, and after that, there's going to be a second coming of Jesus Christ, and then there's going to be a millennial temple, and then Christ is going to preside over the temple, and then the sacrifices made in the temple are once again going to atone for sin. All of that is simply an imposition on the biblical text. I've written about this in various places. Probably where I've written about it most extensively is in my book, The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Joseph in Wright City, Missouri. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Hank, thank you for taking the call.
Pleasure.
I have a question that's kind of similar to what you just got done talking about. I know you don't agree with the pre-tribulation stance, and there's some things about it I don't like, but how do you interpret then Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that you have to interpret within the proper epoch. There's no warrant for taking the 69 weeks and then placing a gap between those 69 weeks and the 70th week of 2,000 years. That's gap theology that is ad hoc. It has no real basis other than imposing a particular paradigm on the scriptures. What's going on with the 77s, they symbolically refer to the lengthy period of extended exile beginning with the decree of King Cyrus of Persia. So as prophesied by Jeremiah, Jerusalem was going to experience a partial restoration after 70 years of exile. But as revealed through the angel Gabriel, the return from exile was merely a type of the antitypical freedom that would be experienced through Judas Maccabeus, who I just mentioned, which itself was typological of the ultimate restoration through Jesus the Messiah. Cyrus's decree allowed for the return of the Jews to Jerusalem and for the rebuilding of the temple, that which happens under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Nevertheless, the people of Judah continue to be dominated by foreign powers. So the symbolism of the 77s, which is a number repeated by Jesus, by the way, in regards to the number of times we are to forgive others, is grounded in the Hebrew redemptive year of Jubilee, in which all debts were canceled at the end of 49 years, or seven periods of 7 years, as you see back in Leviticus 25. And so the 77s of Daniel encompass 10 Jubilee eras, and they represent the extended exile of the Jews that would end in the fullness of time. In other words, the quintessential Jubilee, when the people of God would experience ultimate redemption and restoration, not in a harlot city, but actually in the Holy Christ. Now, where I've written about that most extensively is in a book called Has God Spoken? And there's a particular footnote. I can't look it up as I'm here on the broadcast. I just don't have enough time. But in the book, there's a footnote towards the end, which is very instructive. Also, if you read what I've written about the abomination of desolation, spoken of both by Daniel and by Jesus, you'll get the full context and the historical pattern itself. So it's all laid out in my book, Has God Spoken?, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can just hang on the quip.org on the web for everybody listening in. You can also write for a copy of the book, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We're out of here. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.